Hello, this is Choices, and this is Judy Mario, your host. On this show, we talk about the choices that we make in life and how they affect us. Today's show, we are talking about when the doctor says you have cancer. Do you have a choice at that time? I believe you do. So, let's talk about when the doctor says you have cancer. Hearing the diagnosis of cancer for the first time is probably the most alone moment of your life. I know it was for me. It's the one time in your life when you are totally with yourself and your thoughts. No one else can know how you feel or what you should do. You probably won't understand it. You won't understand why you have cancer. I couldn't believe that it happened to me. Your family and friends will not understand it, and they won't understand what you're going through. The only one who will ever understand it is God, if you believe in God, and I do. I believe God understands why I had this particular cancer at this time in my life. It was to make me make some lifestyle changes. But, you know, even the strongest people become extremely vulnerable when they're first diagnosed, so much so that almost any authority figure can convince them that his or her treatment plan is the only treatment that will save their lives. And that's what most of us want. We want to save our lives. And as helpful and supportive as friends and family may want to be, and as confident as the doctors are about what is right for you, you must make your own decision about what kind of treatment you will have, because you are the one who will live with the consequences of that decision. No one else should tell you what to do. You must make your treatment decisions yourself, and I know it would be so much easier just to turn it over to someone else and let them make that decision. It's easier to do what the doctors tell us to do than to do the research that we need to do and have the discipline required to take our health into our own hands. It takes a lot of courage and an incredible amount of faith to go against the recommendations for conventional medicine. And, you know, there are no guarantees. Some of us will have conventional treatments, and some will choose alternative medicine, and some will combine the two, like I did. Some will live, and some will die, no matter what treatment choices they make. It is your responsibility, no matter what you decide, to make sure that you are doing everything you can to support your treatment. I believe we should have been taught about nutrition in elementary school, but we weren't. Good nutrition supports a healthy immune system, which helps your body do what it needs to do to heal. And doctors aren't even taught in medical school about the effect of nutrition on the immune system. Don't wait until it's too late. Find out now how you need to eat, exercise, rest, and live to be optimally healthy. Even if you don't have cancer, you should find out how you need to eat, exercise, rest, and live. It's important. And just because you have cancer doesn't mean you can't have a good quality of life. You can manage the cancer. You can manage your health. You can be happy and live your life. I recently wrote a book. My reason for writing this book was to make people aware that they have choices. The book is entitled Overcoming Cancer, A Journey of Faith. And it's basically my story, but it also has so much information in it to help the newly diagnosed cancer patient figure out what to do, to be aware that they have options, lots and lots and lots of options, at almost every step of the process. I wrote the book to encourage people to take their time in making treatment decisions, because I was pushed into a treatment decision. The doctor said to me, yes, it's for sure you have cancer. Tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock, we're going to have surgery. That's too quick. I want to encourage you to take your time making your treatment decisions. You didn't get that cancer overnight, and you've got time to make a decision. Don't let anyone push you to do something too fast. I also wrote the book to let people know that feelings are okay. Any feelings you have, whether you feel sad or whether you feel angry, that's okay. And it's also okay if you have no feelings. The doctor says you have cancer and you don't feel a thing. That's okay too. Whatever it is that you're going through emotionally, it's okay. I also wrote the book to give people hope, because I came out on the other side a healthier person, and I want a lot of other people to know that they can do that too. And we don't always have to do what we're told. I was grown, when I grew up, I mean, they told me that doctors knew everything and that I must do what a doctor said. Well, in this case, I'm not sure they always know exactly what's right for me. So I had to make up my mind on my own. And that meant I had to do a lot of research. That took a little bit of time. So I had the surgery, and then they said, oops, you're going to have another surgery. We didn't do everything we were going to do, or that we could have done or should have done. And so I thought, I'm going to take time. I'm going to research and find out. They also said you have to have chemo and radiation. And I thought, I don't want to do that. So I want to take time. I want to have the research. And I did the research. And that's the reason I wrote the book, Overcoming Cancer, A Journey of Faith, because I want you to take the time and do the research and not just panic. I know when we hear that word cancer, the big C, we think our life is over. We think this is it. I'm done. And so very often we panic. And I don't want you to panic. I want you to realize that your treatment choice is yours. And you have a right and a responsibility to take your time in making the decision that is right for you. And you need to learn to ask questions. Lots and lots and lots of questions. Now, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, I'm not even a nutritionist. I'm a person like you who went through the cancer experience. And it was not fun, and it was not pretty. It was, however, my most important learning experience, and I believe I have emerged from the other side of it as a better person, as a much better person. So I want to encourage you to do your research, make your decisions carefully, be disciplined as never before. Life is not easy, and this experience is no exception. And what I know for sure is that you can and will get through this. It's how you experience it that's up to you. This is Judy Morio, and this is Choices. Listeners, I always want to talk about what you want to hear about, so please, please, please email me, judy@judymorio.com, and let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what you want to hear, what you want to talk about. What guests do you think would be great for me to have on my show? That's Judy, J-U-D-I, at judymorio.com. J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E-O.com. And while you're there, you might want to sign up for our free monthly newsletter that goes out every month, and it gives you tips and ideas on how you can make the right choices for your life. Today, here on Choices Radio, this is Judy Morio, and we are talking about when the doctor says, you have cancer. Do you have a choice? I believe you do. I believe that you must believe that you will survive. Cancer doesn't necessarily mean you're going to die. There are millions of cancer survivors in this world, and you can be one of them. Make up your mind you're going to do everything you can to boost your immune system, enabling it to fight the cancer. Decide you are going to get well, and then take the necessary steps. There are three stressors which could be affecting you, and they are loss of control, loss of hope, and a feeling of aloneness. And that's what happens to us. When that doctor says, you have cancer, very often we feel so out of control. We just feel we have no control over what's happening to us, and that's scary. We have a loss of hope. We feel like, well, all of our lives we've been doing everything we could to be good people and to do the best we could. And now here, all of a sudden, when we least expected it, we feel like we're at the end of our lives. And that's not necessarily true either. And we feel all alone. We feel like nobody can understand, and nobody can. Not unless they've been through it. So it's important for you to address and overcome these three things. You have to give power to your immune system and affect its ability to fight off cancer. And how do we give power to our immune system? Well, there's so many things we can do, starting with diet and exercise. And I think the cancer experience was unlike any other experience I'd ever had. First, I was in shock. Then I was in disbelief. And then, I have to tell you, I got angry, real angry. I was angry about the unfairness of life. And then came the doubts and the questions. I started wondering how long I was going to live and did I bring this on myself or was it the gynecologist who put me on hormone replacement therapy for all those years? I tried to stay calm, but I was very concerned as to what would happen to my sister if I wasn't around to take care of her because she was elderly and ill. And then there were all the different recommendations from the doctors, the friends, and the family, telling me that I had to quit work and go for treatment every day and go through radiation and chemo. And I still had to work. And I was trying to stay positive and motivational. After all, I am a motivational speaker and a writer. And some days, it was just overwhelming. In fact, in the beginning, most days, it was overwhelming. What I didn't realize, and what so many people don't realize, is that you have time. When the surgeon says you need surgery tomorrow, well, I did it. Isn't that what you're supposed to do, what the doctor tells you? Well, let me tell you, if I had to do it over, I wouldn't have done it so fast. I would take more time. We don't get cancer overnight, and we certainly can take the time to make our decisions based on information, knowledge, and the assurance that we are doing the right thing. This hurry up and do something panic is not based on fact. It is based on fear. Our minds start to create scenarios when we are faced with the unknown. What should we do when we start to panic? Well, observe. Observe yourself, your emotions, and what's going on around you. Separate in your mind who you are from the panic you're feeling. Simply watch your emotions and let them go. Visualize yourself as a competent person who can make the right decisions. Say prayers of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for giving me the intelligence and the power to make the right decision for all concerned in this situation. Thank you, God, for giving me a long and healthy life. Make prayers of thanksgiving. Do you believe that things happen for a reason? I do. So many of us sometimes get caught up in our poor me routine and we forget that things happen for a reason. And attitude is one of the few things in life over which we have complete control. And during the cancer experience, you need to have complete control over something. So take control of your attitude. It's times like these when attitude is probably the only thing that we have control over. And we can discipline our minds to take possession of our thoughts. I know it's not easy. In fact, it is very hard to be positive when you're scared and you're overwhelmed. The American psychologist William James once said, "As you think, so shall you be." These words resonated with me, and I worked daily to discipline my mind in order to maintain a positive focus. When I allowed my mind to be filled with fear and doubt, that's when I scared away any chance of the healthy life I so desperately wanted to live. I had to control my attitude. And you may be asking yourself, well, what has attitude got to do with taking control of my life? Our attitude is our outward expression of our feelings. Our thoughts create our feelings, and our feelings usually determine our behavior. Remember, when we improve our thoughts, we improve our feelings, which in turn improves our behavior and leads directly to improved results. It is important to process our thoughts so that they move us forward. If we remain positively sure that what's going to happen to us is going to be a good outcome, then that's going to be what happens. If we doubt, if we start thinking, I'm going to be sick, I'm going to die, this is terrible, then that's probably what's going to be happening to you. So focus on the good health that you want in your life. Don't get sidetracked by things and circumstances that you don't want. Why is it for many of us, when a difficult experience comes our way, we interpret it as a hardship? When things happen to us, we can choose to believe they happened for the best. We can discover opportunities in even the most difficult situations if we are willing to look for them. It is what we think about each experience that determines how we respond to it. If we think this is a disaster, it will be. On the other hand, if we think there's an opportunity in here somewhere and look for it, we will most certainly find it. This is Judy Moyo, and this is Choices, a radio show that talks about the choices that we have in our lives, the things that we can do to make our lives even better than they already are. I always want to cover material that you want to hear, so I ask you please, to contact me, Judy, at judymoyo.com, and let me know whether or not you like the shows I'm doing and what else you'd like to hear on the show. And also, take a look at Choices magazine. Choices, it's a magazine about all the different kinds of choices that we have in life, and this month, the issue is about health and beauty. So if you're listening to me today, I know you're going to want to look at that issue of Choices magazine. And the way you get there, you just go to judymoreo.com, that's JudyMoreo.com, and click on the link to Choices magazine. It'll take you right there, and you'll find some wonderful, wonderful articles by some fabulous writers, and you will really learn a lot and experience a lot by looking at the magazine. We always want to learn more. No matter what choices we have in life, we need to learn more. But when the doctor says you have cancer, you need to acquire as much knowledge as possible about the situation you are going through. Research the disease, the treatments, the cures, the doctors, and nutritional programs. Talk to other people who have been in similar circumstances to yours, and find out about their treatments and their results. Find out what the side effects of their treatments were. The more you ask questions and the more you find out, the more you will know and the more confident you will feel. Confident thinking leads to a positive attitude, which leads to successful outcomes. You'll want to identify the pitfalls. Identify what could go wrong with your plans. If you know the possible pitfalls, it's easier to work around them. Unknown factors breed fear. Once you expose fears to the light of day, evaluate them, and start exploring ways to overcome them, they will no longer seem so scary. We naturally experience fear when we step out of our comfort zone. And cancer is out of our comfort zone, very far out of our comfort zone. Fear is one of the ways that we protect ourselves. When we have fear, we are usually more cautious. So examine your fears. Ask yourself, what is it you're actually afraid of? See, I wasn't afraid to die. I was afraid to be sick. And once I realized that, I was able to be more courageous in my treatment options. I didn't want to be sick. And I was damn and determined not to be. So ask yourself, what are you really afraid of? And then do your homework. Have you done your homework now? Have you looked at all your options? What's motivating you to take the action you are taking? Is it your decision or is it someone else's? Do you feel in control or out of control? Do you have all the information you need? If not, why not? So you have to ask yourself all these kinds of questions if you're going to get to the other side. You need to take positive steps toward a healthier you and sell yourself on doing whatever it is that you need to do. So many of my friends have come down with cancer, and I've talked to them about the things that I did and the changes and choices that they could make. And they make different choices than me. And some of them have come through it on the other side healthy and fine, and some have not. So it's important for you to take very, very positive steps and ask yourself questions. Ask yourself, am I reacting to life or living my life in a proactive manner? Ask yourself, am I so busy being caught up in what is wrong now that I'm not working out a plan for my successful outcome? Am I allowing my life to be governed by outside forces, or am I choosing to live my life in accordance with my own decisions? Do I have important goals and dreams that I'm committed to, or am I creatively avoiding life by allowing this disease to have its way with me? And listen to your answers. Write them down. Get out your journal and write them down. I have an achievement journal. I designed this over a period of 20 years. You can get one too. Go to judymorio.com and take a look at the journal that's there. And I wrote in it every day. I wrote one thing I was doing every day to get better. I focused on getting better. My goal was to get well and to get better. And I learned to use my positive self-talk all the way through this experience. Self-talk is the conversation you have with yourself. And we've discussed this before on the show, but it's important to remember that your mind will believe whatever you tell it if you tell it often enough and with conviction. Our minds have such incredible power. Incredible power. If we tell them that we are strong and healthy, they'll say yes and start to work in taking us down that path to a successful outcome. If we tell our minds that we are weak and scared, they will also say yes. And they'll take us down that path to fear and to doubt. So you have to program your mind, talk positive to yourself every single day, and surround yourself with people who will talk positive to you too. There are people who are going to try to convince you that you shouldn't do anything other than what they tell you. And they'll certainly tell you that you've got to go with traditional medicine and you shouldn't try anything that's not right in the traditional protocol. They'll tell you that it's ridiculous and it won't work. Well, don't believe them. At this point, you must try anything that resonates with you that it might possibly work. And I believe you have to support your immune system. My doctor said that he couldn't heal me. He said your immune system is what heals you, and you have to make your immune system strong. And we're going to talk about that on the show later this week. So surround yourself with people who support you and believe you will be well and whole again. And close your mind to any negativity of those people around you. Negativity is a virus and it's catching. Make yourself immune to it by understanding that no one else can make you feel anything. No one else can make you angry. No one else can make you sad. No one else can hurt your feelings unless you allow them to. You choose how you react and respond to situations and how you react and respond to what other people say and do. And they can certainly trigger old feelings from the past, but they can't determine how you feel or how you behave. How you react and respond is up to you. Change your thinking about the situation and you control your behavior. I had to stay away from people who were negative. I needed all my strength to stay positive and focus forward on my health and my new better life. And it wasn't easy. After about a month into this cancer experience, my sister died suddenly. That was a shock. I had to arrange for her funeral and deal with her estate while I was still dealing with this cancer. And that's not easy. And there were days when I just felt I couldn't go on. I would talk to God and I would ask him why. Why was I given so much to deal with? And I was fortunate to have some incredible friends and some wonderful neighbors who came to my rescue, who supported me, cooked for me, changed the locks on the house, and generally were there for me. It feels so good when someone says, I'm here for you, and they really mean it. So surround yourself with positive people. And one of the most important things you can do for yourself when you're going through the cancer experience is to laugh, 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 and laugh some more. Laughter is one of the most healing activities around. Whatever it is that makes you laugh, do it. Laugh a lot. Watch every funny movie you can get your hands on. Hang out with friends who are happy and make you laugh. Go to comedy shows, rent video, buy a comedy CD or DVD, read a funny book. Ask your friends to call you with anecdotes, stories, and jokes. Sometimes we laugh just because someone else is laughing. It's contagious. It's good to laugh about things during illness. It makes us feel more alive. Laughter, like exercise, releases endorphins. Endorphins are the body's natural painkillers. And even in the midst of pain, we can often find things to laugh about. As early as the 13th century, surgeons used humor to distract patients from pain. In 1979, there appeared to be a real breakthrough when Norman Cousins wrote the book, Anatomy of an Illness, in which he credited watching comedic movies and laughter for curing himself of a serious illness with years of prolonged pain. For people who have been diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, it may seem odd to find humor when facing such a serious event, but remember, there is a fine line between tragedy and comedy. Seeing humor in your situation, your reaction to your situation, and even your memories about your disease can be healing. When you're laughing, you aren't thinking negative thoughts. You're boosting your immune system, improving your mental functions such as alertness, memory, and creativity, and inducing positive changes in your body. Sometimes you'll feel better for hours only after a few minutes of laughing. Laughter helps us relax. It often reduces stress and tension and produces an overall sense of well-being. There's truth. There's a lot of truth in the old adage, those who laugh, last. Be grateful for your gifts, too. Every night when you lay your head on your pillow, say thank you for at least two things in your life for which you are grateful. Say thank you for today. Thank you for feeling good today. Thank you for the healthy food I was able to have to get me through this, that I was able to have to eat today. One night as I was drifting off to sleep, I caught myself thinking, I'm so happy. And then I wondered, when was the last time I felt this way? My healthier body and new energy, as well as my awareness of how fortunate I am to be alive, gave me a whole new sense of gratitude. And on those sometimes difficult nights when you're laying there thinking about the things you haven't done, you still need to do, you could have said, you shouldn't have said, you don't have, or you wish you did, concentrate on two people, traits, or things that happen, which are a blessing to you. Think about what you have instead of what you don't. Focus on what you are instead of what you aren't. As Reverend Robert Shure has often said, obstacles are seldom the same size tomorrow as they are today. Today's responsibility is tomorrow's possibility. Let's think about that again. Today's responsibility is tomorrow's possibility. Obstacles are seldom the same size tomorrow as they are today. So we must maintain a new positive attitude even in the face of this obstacle. When the doctor says you have cancer, it does not mean it's the end. It means it's the beginning of a new life. So focus forward. Focus positive. Think about what you can do. Think about what you will do. And think about what you are going to do with the life you have left. And most of all, remember, you are more than enough. You can do this. You can do this. You are more than enough.